It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. It was big news last week when the European Space Agency landed a probe on a comet. And even with some unexpected difficulties in the landing, the Rosetta mission has already gathered enough data to keep scientists busy for years.
Gene Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium and our regular astronomy contributor. She shares her thoughts about Rosetta's initial successes.
You see the pictures, the videos, and you realize that some of those people in that room have been working on this for 20 years, their whole career. So it's been traveling for 10, but, you know, these projects have a long life before they come to fruition. And from the time that somebody dreamt it to the time it's actually landed, it could be 25 years or more. So if you think about that and the odds, how many things have to go right before something like this works? You can almost imagine the fantastic anxiety and anticipation of a group of people whose dreams and, one could argue, personal livelihood depends on this thing working. And we know that at first the landing of the machine wasn't quite perfect, so it had to bounce off. And, you know, after floating for a mile and coming back again, eventually it hit the ground and it stuck. Amazing.
And on a comet that's moving how fast through space?
Well, that's the thing, right? So you're trying to hit a moving target. You're not quite sure exactly how it's going to stick, what the exact properties are of the comet in advance. I mean, we know that its density was 0.4 grams per cubic centimeter. Just to give you a reference, water is 1 gram per cubic centimeter. So this is less dense than water itself. So we know it's not going to be rock, but ice comes in all kinds of flavors. So if it's terrifically brittle when it hits, it might disintegrate piece of the comet and then the whole thing flies away into space and you kiss goodbye the whole project. Well, I shouldn't say the whole project because this was just a lander, right? Philae was just a lander. The overall mission is called Rosetta. That is the orbiter that's going to be studying the comet. And that, of course, has an independent life. And that was significantly less risky. But because to set Philae to the comet, they had to change the orbit of the orbiter. Now that that part of the mission is done with, now they have to fire up the rockets to change its orbit so that it's at a more circular, if you will, orbit, so that it's steadier and it can safely study the comet for, they hope, for about a year. So the exciting kind of news that came out, other than it successfully landed, was that it looks like they found the first organic molecules. And when we're talking about organic molecules here, we're just talking about molecules that have carbon and hydrogen, the building blocks of life. And we've seen in the past hints that that might be so just by studying the dust of comets, but not directly the comet itself. You've probably heard of the drama that when it eventually stuck to the ground, it didn't quite land the way that would have been ideal. So the solar panels that were going to collect data and sort of recharge the battery weren't getting enough. So they had about 60 hours of operation before the battery basically ran out. And the final hope is that perhaps when the comet comes closer to the sun, that it'll get enough energy possibly to wake it up in time. I get the feeling that this is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's conceivable. It's not impossible.
So what happens if it doesn't wake up? How does that affect the mission?
Well, they already basically got what they were hoping to get. I mean, they have 60 hours of data on the ground on a comet. Well, that is nothing we've ever done before. So this is probably the kind of data that it'll take years before all the ramifications, everybody has analyzed all the data and come to some conclusions. So even though, as I said, it didn't have an extended mission, its primary mission was successful.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's great. And for them to already, I mean, this is, you know, a few days later, to already have an announcement like we found organic molecules is already awesome.
Yeah.
So There are reasons, of course, why we think that comets are so worthwhile. And one of them is we think that some comets might have brought the seeds for life on Earth. I mean, this is something that people talk about quite a bit. And this is one indication that maybe this idea holds some water because we see the organic molecules on the comet right now. This is going to be interesting also in conjunction with the studies of the comet that approached, sighting spring, that approached Mars. Again, this is too recently to have analyzed all the data yet. But as we study this comet that approached Mars and interacted with the atmosphere of Mars, we might see a pattern developing. If that comet also has some organic molecules, and also we see that the atmosphere of that comet did influence the atmosphere of Mars, that might tell us, this could have happened
on
Earth, too.
This could have happened here, too. Okay.
And we can do the experiment safely on Mars because it's far enough from us. We don't worry too much about could this impact the Earth in unpleasant ways. So we did it on the cheap.
And so thinking that this influences or has influenced possibly life on Earth or the creation of life on Earth, this wasn't necessarily a comet striking the Earth. This was just interacting with the atmosphere. Is that
what
we're
right.
thinking?
Okay. That's right. Now, obviously, it would be more likely if the comet struck the Earth, and it could well have been that comets did strike the Earth or other objects from the outer parts of the solar system. Early on in the solar system's history, we had a very heavy bombardment period. So the Earth was not a good place to be. A whole lot of debris and large pieces of rock and...
Just ask the dinosaurs.
Exactly. Well, even before the dinosaurs, yeah. When it would have been even worse. We would have just been a man on the mark, continuously bombarded. So we think that, you know, objects certainly large would have been able to fall on the Earth and often. So it could be that that would have been just enough of a starter. And with the chemistry that we have, it could take hold. Yeah.
All right.
The other, of course, interesting thing about comets is that these are the oldest building blocks for planets in the solar system. These are objects that mostly froze out of what we call the solar nebula, so the cloud that formed the sun and the planets early on in its history at the outskirts of the solar system. So it's hard for us to get to them, much easier to visit them if they come closer to us. So that's the idea. And we have flew by Halley's Comet in 1984. The Europeans had a mission there. But it was not the same, of course, as landing, gathering data, drilling holes, doing all these, and much more sensitive equipment to make the measurements. So this is a whole new chapter for us all.
And just, again, I go back to just how cool.
Yes.
That we're seeing this in our lifetime and that we're getting this kind of information and that we have the ability and technology to be able to go there.
We live in exciting times.
We certainly do. Jean Creighton, great to have you back and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
And we'll talk next month.
I look forward to it.
Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium on the UW-Milwaukee campus and our regular astronomy contributor.
You can see photos and videos from the comet, as well as subscribe to Rosetta's Twitter feed from the European Space Agency's Rosetta Mission website. There is a link to it at WUWM.com.
We'll take one last break and then catch up with the executive director of the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. So stick around for more of Lake Effect right after this.